What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Happy Skews Day to you. Missed out that a little bit. Thanks for being here. Oh, it is Weekly Skews. I'm Trey, and that's Mark. It's October 28th, 2025. Happy spooky season. Halloween coming up in just a few days. We're recording this on Monday, October 27th at about 1:30 p.m. Pacific time. How you doing, Mark? You got a costume picked out?
Nah, not really my thing. You know, mirth.
Heard that. Yeah. Normally, Katie makes me... have something, but she's been so, we just bought a house last year and she's been so tied up with home. She's a huge Halloween person, but she's way more focused on the house Halloween decorations this year that like worrying about mine and her costumes or whatever is kind of flown under the radar, which hits for me just fine because I'm not super into it either. She has made an extremely kick-ass costume by hand herself for my 14-year-old son, so I'm looking forward to posting that on. It's the type of thing that like he could wear to Comic-Con, and I think would get some like kudos for it. It's pretty fucking sweet. But I just been sitting on my fat ass.
That's somebody's got to do it. So speaking of scary stuff and nightmares, let's talk about nuclear weapons for a minute. So, but before we came on, I was asking you about if you'd seen, because you brought up Point Break. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, have you seen Catherine Bigelow's new movie? House of Dynamite, which is supposed to be like a searing thriller about the world we live in, where you know a nuclear missile's incoming and no one knows where it came from, and trying to figure out how a moral way to respond that doesn't get everyone killed. And it's just like at times like these, it's nice to know that responsible, sober minded people are in charge of these doomsday weapons.
Right.
Let's talk about what's going on at your old employer, the Department of Energy. Mm-hmm. Read this headline to you. Man stores AI-generated robot porn on his government computer, loses access to nuclear secrets.
Yep. I'm kind of surprised. I'm a little bit surprised that he lost access to said secrets because when I worked there, there were multiple people I worked there for like 6.5 years, there were multiple people that got caught with like porn on their work computer or whatever. And I don't think any of them, they definitely didn't lose their job. They had like a little probationary period thing. Mm-hmm. I don't think they lost their clearance or none of that shit. But none of these people that I'm talking about were, this dude was probably in one of those human reliability program type things where they have like a higher standard for that type of shit. If you lose your clearance, you're fucked.
I think one of the things this guy got in trouble for was the sheer volume of it. So let me quote here. A man who works at the people overseeing America's nuclear stockpile has lost his security clearance after he uploaded 187,000 pornographic images to a Department of Energy network. So he put it on the network, not just his own computer.
What could you possibly do with that amount of porn? Like, you know what? It's like, what's he squirreling it away? Like, I'll get back to that one later. Like, no, you won't. Not when there's 187,000. Also, images is funny too. What is it? 1996?
Yeah, we have moving pictures. Yeah.
Right.
we got talkies now in the porn world. Yeah. But see, what he was trying to do apparently was he was trying to back up his personal porn collection. So yes, he does have 170,000 images, but what he was trying to do, quote, his goal was to use the 187,000 images collected over the past 30 years as training data for an AI image generator. So he's tired of 187,000 images, but he wants to use a computer to generate a new set of images based upon the ones he uploaded, right? Which he's using government computers for. Here's the funny part here. We only know about this. Usually these kind of proceedings, they would keep it quiet, right? It only becomes public if you appeal. We know about this. It's public because he's trying to appeal to get a security clearance back because he feels like he was personally wronged.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought this was America. But I mean, you know, people often feel that way. You know what I mean? It's like... Mm-hmm. Incensed and wronged, betrayed.
Yeah. He told investigators he felt his bosses spied on him too much, and the interrogation over the porn snafu was akin to the quote Spanish Inquisition.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be a fucking nerd. Let me put my titty pictures on the government computer.
I was sort of like this dude, but with random drug testing when I worked there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like I, you know, just like acted like it was completely outrageous and a clear violation of our constitutional rights and stuff, which I do actually believe, by the way. But like, it was a funny like hill to die on, especially you really had to like understand the environment and atmosphere of the office that I worked in. It was a bunch of like you know, 50 plus boomers that were square as hell. And I was like calling union meetings and shit to try to get rid of the drug testing policy, clearly, so I could go back to smoking weed like I did in college. And in retrospect, well, it probably wasn't that great of a look, but you know, who gives a fuck?
In your defense, like the problem with the drug testing is like weed stays in your system for 30 days. So like you can't even smoke weed in the weekends and work for the government in this scenario, right? Which is right. Like this, but this guy is like at work doing the porn stuff. Like, mm-hmm. like the equivalent would be if you were smoking a bong in your cubicle.
Right. Yes. 100%.
Right. But so he said, he told me when he got caught, he said he had depression, which is something he struggled with since he was a kid. He was basically felt lonely. So that's why he was doing all this robot pornography. That's according to, he called it robot pornography. So you can't take away his AI porn. That's his emotional support AI porn. He's depressed. Don't you feel bad for him?
Yeah.
So another one of these fucking, I can't believe, like, I know it takes all kinds. You're going to have lunatics work for nuclear weapons too. But, another one of these cases where a guy appealed. From Blizzard late last year, a DOE contractor lost a security clearance after getting catfished by someone online who he thought was a famous actress. The contractor sent the celebrity $3,800 in money he'd embezzled from a nonprofit, and then he got into a physical fight with his son when his family found out. The fight landed him in jail, and when he got out, he failed to report the arrest and embezzlement to his employer. When the Department of Energy asked why, he told them he assumed the forms the DOE had sent him were part of an elaborate phishing scam. Sure. The famous actress hitting him up on Facebook.
Yeah, right. Dude, getting into like a teary-eyed fist fight with your adult son because he's trying to convince you that Scarlett Johansson does not want to date you or whatever is fucking hilarious. You know what I mean? It's like, no, she really likes me. But like, this is a... When I first went to the DOE and at the age of like 23, fresh out of grad school, I was so worried every day because I was like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I'm some dumb kid. They made a mistake hiring me. They're definitely going to realize and fire me pretty soon. And I think a lot of people start fresh out of college feel that type of way. And it's like one of the most illuminating experiences of your adult life, especially if you work in a place like that, where it's like we had a nuclear weapons complex. There were people with access to nuclear secrets and all that shit at this job, and realizing, like, looking around and slowly realizing, like, oh, a lot of these people are fucking idiots and fuck ups and don't have a clue. Been here for 30 years and still don't have a clue what they're doing. A lot, you know, not all of them. There's plenty of people that were competent in that 10, just like in almost every office, the 10% of actually competent people were responsible for 85% of, you know, the work or whatever. But it was just like, it's actually oddly kind of comforting when you're like, you know, a young adult and, you know, worried that you're going to fuck all that up, when realizing like, oh, fucking. No adults really know what the fuck they're doing.
We're all, you know. There's a picture my mom has of me, like, wearing my dad's work boots, right? And the kids all do that. They all try on their parents or adults' clothes and stuff. That's what everybody is just like a little kid wearing a suit and acting like what they think their parents acted like. It's like, yeah. It's all fucking fake. But like, that's what drives me crazy about the contours of our political debates in America, about what's big government versus small government. So the small government people do not want the government to be able to have the resources to feed people, which is what we're talking about today, but do think it should have the resources to end all life on Earth 10 times over. That's small government, right? I flip it. I consider myself a small government leftist or liberal or whatever, because I think the government should be able to feed people and give them medicine, but should not be able to blow up the planet, right? Because at the end, you have a guy like this in charge of like whether or not life survives on Earth. And then he quote at the hearing, this is after his sons beat him up and he's lost his security clearance. He's trying to get a security clearance back. At the hearing, the individual testified that he was still not sure who he had been talking to online, but when asked, did not rule out that it could have been the actress.
Right. He's like, you don't know that it wasn't Mariska Hargitay. Right. Yeah, it wasn't her.
You call up Mariska and get her on the phone and get her to say it's not me, and then she's also not under physical duress. You got a gun to her head. It's obviously Mariska.
Oh, that's hilarious. Oh, my old stomping grounds takes me back. All right, but let's move forward for now. On with the show. However, first, of course, I got my business to handle. If you'd like to see me do stand-up comedy live and in person, go to TreyCrowder.com and check out my upcoming tour dates. Had a little bit of time off the road, but that's ending soon. Getting back out there. Madison, Milwaukee, Oklahoma City, Dallas, Fort Wayne, Indiana, Nashville, home for the holidays with Corey and Drew, well-read Christmas shows like we do every year. Always fun. Sacramento, Spartansburg, Wilmington, Chicago, Denver, and a bunch of other ones already on the website, TreyCrowder.com. If you'd like a palate cleanser from this effort of ours, you can check out producer Matt's audio exclusive addendum or a sister show called Good Skews, Good People Doing Good Things. You have to get that from the podcast version, so the audio only version of this show. As for this one, if you enjoy it and would like to support the show and get some more of it, you can sign up on Patreon. $5 a month get you access to 2 full-length bonus episodes. We're in the middle of our quarterly, our fall 2025 Q&A. We take questions from the patrons and answer them. Those are always two-parters. We're halfway through one right now. So if you join this week, you'll get the second half and retroactively every bonus episode we've ever done. So consider it. But with that said, as for the show tonight, as Mark teased, we'll be talking about a subject near and dear to my heart, stomach, family, childhood, life, and everything in between: food stamps, the availability thereof, and all the implications surrounding it. But first, we begin with the Daily Dumbass. Matt, graphic, please. Today's DD, the Chinese, for just now importing the 90s.
Frustrated by the growing uncertainty and lack of economic opportunities, young Chinese are resorting to this new buzzword, Bailan, to express their attitude toward life. It means voluntarily giving up the pursuit of life goals because they realize that they are simply unattainable. Someone has to be a loser, why not me? It has become the iconic slogan of the Waste Group. Similar Chinese expressions include, to smash a cracked pot, or dead pigs are not afraid of boiling water. One of
the behaviors of Bailan. It is a like Chinese website. It's so all over the world. I like checking out what's going on in China every now and then, because it's like a funhouse mirror of us, in the sense that like it's not even a funhouse mirror, because it doesn't sound like it's the opposite. It's not. It's the same, just with like a slightly different contours and dynamics. But yeah,
turns out where they've had like capitalism-ish stuff for long enough, like a rat race for the amount of time that's required for a country to have a rat race before the youth becomes disillusioned and says, fuck everything, this is all bullshit anyway, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, well, in the 90s, like you said, slackers.
You've also got a generation of kids that grow without brothers and sisters because the one-child policy, right, and it's the birth rates collapse there because women have freedom and opportunity there, and they decide there's a whole thing called leftover women there where the government tries to run an ad campaign where, like, if you're over 30, you don't have kids, you're a huge, like, you're an old crone. And the women just took it as their leftover women as their own label, because, like, fuck, man, we don't like them. So now there's, like, parental speed dating parties where parents get together and try to match their kids up, even though the boys are all incels, the women are all feminists. It's like, it's fascinating. It's sort of, you know, it's not that different from here, but like, so. But their solution to this is try to stop people from being sad on the internet, because when you're sad on the internet, it gives other people permission to be sad and tune in, tune out, drop out, right? So, like, let me quote here this headline: "Cheer up, or else China cracks down on the haters and cynics." Basically, they're not just going after political dissent; they're punishing bloggers and influencers whose like sad posts are like resonating in the country. Specifically, they punish bloggers who advocated for a life of less work and less pressure. An influencer said that it made financial sense not to marry and have children, and a commentator known for bluntly observing that China still lags behind Western countries in terms of quality of life. So basically, they're taking away their accounts for being performatively sad or being honestly sad, however you want to put it. Mm-hmm. And thinking about it, in America, where the best way to go viral, to make a living off the internet, is to be either outrageous or depressed.
Yep.
Like, that's half of our economy.
Who you telling? Fucking, yeah.
That's it.
I go with both, you know.
Yeah,
and sometimes equal parts. More outrage publicly, but there's plenty of depressed in there too, I think.
Yeah, if you can't go, we can't complain and be depressed on the internet. Our whole fucking business model goes away. Right. So the 2-month campaign launched by the Cyberspace Administration of China in late September is aimed at purging content that incites excessively pessimistic sentiment and panic, or promotes defeatist ideas such as hard work is useless. Basically, people complain about being overworked and sad and not advancing in life. Okay. Imagine that, Trey. To be quoted here by a Chinese state broadcaster, the internet is not a dumping ground for negativity.
I mean, I don't know what internet they've been on. I mean, I do understand that China has their own sort of internet over there, right? So I guess that's kind of what we're talking about. They're trying to they police have the great it into being, you know, shiny, happy post only, I guess, but not around these parts.
They have the great firewall of chatter, right? Which it can be closed off somewhat, but people have VPNs, even though they just finally made VPNs. But like the dirty little secret is like this internet was kind of open. Like you're not supposed to speak publicly or whatever, but most days you can log on to New York Times. And they when they block it, doesn't really make any sort of sense. Like the thing about our current aspiring authoritarian government is they don't know how to do it. Like China does not. Like they don't like they haven't done Tiananmen Square since 1989 for a reason. I think they determined it didn't fucking work, right? Whereas our government's like, let's do all Tiananmen Squares all the fucking time because we're because we're stupid.
Yeah.
But the dynamic, yeah, it's like if you can't put negativity on the internet, where the fuck are you supposed to put it? They're trying to take us back to the 50s where you have to be happy in public and then go home and be your wife and kids, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah.
So as part of this, let me quote here, in recent years, some young people have opted out of the rat race in favor of a minimal life of, quote, lying flat or giving up on goals altogether and, quote, letting it rot. And two bloggers who promoted a minimalist lying flat lifestyle were blocked from adding followers late last month. So when you talk about laying flat, it's sort of like planking but depressed. People literally take the pictures of themselves doing it. If you got this picture, Matt. Yeah, just like.
So. That's a lifestyle. You described it as the lying flat lifestyle. Like, how do you can't only ever lie flat unless you just do it in one place until you die. Like, you have to somehow transport yourself in between all the various places where you will be lying flat and otherwise doing nothing.
Yeah.
So you got to figure that part out.
You got to basically, like, if you've ever heard a Melville short story, Bartleby the Scrivener, it's just that. But yeah, it's basically like just a Gen X slacker stuff, the fucking 90s, right? Mm-hmm. It's just like it's that. And the tone of this Taiwan news report from Taiwan is very sad, but I want us to enjoy the images this lady newscaster is talking over if you have this video, Matt.
In China, graduated from university. The problem is many of them have no jobs to enter as China's youth unemployment rate rises above 20%. And the post-COVID economy stagnates. Traditional pictures of students throwing their hats and gowns in the air have been replaced by photos.
You get the gist. For the audio-only listeners, it's pictures of kids in graduation caps who are just lying strewn about outdoor staircases in the middle of streets and shit. This is celebrating graduation is by pointing out how they're never going to succeed in life and they're already giving up.
Right.
Oh, Jesus. So, let me quote, Beijing is concerned that such pessimism doesn't just discourage citizens from being productive members of society. It could turn into criticism of the ruling Communist Party. The internet regulator ordered platforms to root out posts that use isolated news events to point to broader social problems, a style of commentary that the authority condemned as, quote, malicious misinterpretation that fuels cynicism. Again, that's our show.
Right.
So, like, the stuff you're worried about, you're warned about talking about in public, you can't talk about parents having, unloving children. You can't talk about the workplace being full of unmotivated young people. You can't talk about men are being surrounded by materialistic women. And you can't talk about women who are trapped by bad men who cheat. That's the whole internet. That's
where
these kids don't
want to
work. These kids don't want to work. These hoes be trifling and men are dogs.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess they still have cat videos, right? Cat pictures, cat videos. So that's a pretty important part of the internet.
And DraftKings, parlay bets. You get cat videos and parlay bets is all you can do.
Nice. I mean, it's one of those things where you hear all the time about do they not have a social credit score or whatever? Like, that's a real thing, right? Like, over there, that episode of Black Mirror, not that hardcore, but like, and that you're monitored what you say and all this, and you can't criticize them and everything. And it's like, it just sounds like, you know, I don't know how to put it. It's like the government is like, listen, stop being all negative, or you might get the wrong idea about the government being bad. And if you don't listen to us, you know, something bad will happen to you from us. You know, the beatings will continue until morale improves, type of thing.
that's basically it. So I'm not really caught up on the specific. I know it's a right-wing meme that, like, China has the social credit score thing. What a dystopian nightmare it is. But also, we have credit scores. Mm-hmm. It's like, looking into some chat stuff, and one of her skewers, Honky Tonk Heart, sent me this story about the origin of maybe of our frog costume protesters. I know this, right? This has been going on in China, the people protesting, not really protesting, it turned into protests, but people wearing these inflatable frog costumes in the streets going back to like 2023. This is a trend called frogs selling their babies.
Okay.
Basically, the contours and like basically the sequence of events here, if I'm describing it accurately, which forgive me, I can't read Chinese. All I know is American English translations of what's going on over there. It started with a 32-year-old former teacher named Tong from Nanjing. She designed the frog costume, taking her inspiration from a villain in a 1980s cartoon they have over there. And she began wearing the frog suit around Nanjing while selling little frog balloons. It was like her gimmick to sell frog balloons, was pretending they were her babies, and she was selling her baby frogs.
Yeah, that just sounds like cute shit to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's also like there's an added element here that doesn't quite translate. I'm trying to think of another like a similar idiom, but I guess frogs in Chinese culture are like thought of as sad, depressed animals.
Okay.
So, like, kind of how we think of owls as wise, I guess.
Right. Yeah. Do we have a sad, depressed animal? I mean, I just keep thinking of like Eeyore, who's not, you mm-hmm. know, not hashtag yeah. not all donkeys, you know. Mm-hmm. I think most of them.
When you call somebody a donkey, that's a bit stupid.
It doesn't mean
right?
sad. I know. That's why right. I said not all donkeys. Yeah. I don't know. I can't, I don't know. We don't even have sloths in this country, and they're just slow. They're not necessarily mm-hmm. sad. I don't know mm-hmm. what frogs ever did to the Chinese, but also now I'm back to being confused. If frogs are, this is related to the thing you're talking about. Frogs are sad and pathetic. A lady dressed up like a frog and starts selling frog balloons, which a generation ago no one would want because they're sad and pathetic. But right now everyone's like, yeah, we're all sad and pathetic. I'm going to be sad and pathetic my whole life. In fact, I want to be. And so now frogs are having a moment and they're
right.
related. Okay.
Let me quote here from a Chinese commenter on their internet. Quote, if life wasn't so hard, who would be so cruel as to sell their own children? And that became a popular meme on the Chinese internet, right? Mm-hmm. But it did take off as a meme. If you got this video, Matt, here's a one from Weibo, which is basically their internet. It's their Facebook combined Venmo with Uber.
Oh, I mean, that's literally the same frog, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, pretty much. I thought you were...
No.
I don't know. I thought that might be a stretch. I was going to... Well, it's not exactly... But the guy in Portland, it looks like an inflatable yeah. costume version of that exact same frog. Because I just thought, you know, it was just... And I was going to be like, nah, I don't know, dude. I mean, fucking people like frogs. It might not be related. But that literally looks like the same frog. So...
Yeah, I have no idea.
It's the inspiration.
I don't know if it's a one-to-one or maybe he's inspired separately. We don't tend to have a lot of cultural crossover with the Chinese the way we do with, like, outside of Jackie Chan movies and stuff. Yeah, with Japan and South Korea, K-pop right. shit. But then, because it became a meme about where people were expressing their sadness and economic desperation about pretending to be a frog who's selling their babies, the Chinese cops started cracking down on street vendors doing this. Their police force is structured differently than ours. They have urban management is sort of like their parking and code enforcement, and also like beat cops. They started babies trying to arrest people for not having permits selling these fake baby frogs. So yeah, like you said, the beatings will continue until morale improves. Here's a GIF I found of frogs running from the cops.
Man, so this is a worldwide phenomenon. We got
yes,
like, yeah.
Fact, you have more in common with a sad lady selling her frog babies on the Chinese street than you do anyone in either one of her fucking governments, man. Solidarity across the Pacific.
All right. Honorable mention for Daily Dumbass. People complaining about beef prices for not realizing that squirrel meat is free.
One trend in True Brand is making a big comeback as consumers tighten their wallets. And here it is, Hamburger Helper. The mix of mac and cheese and ground beef is seeing a surge in sales. And loudly, okay. It's one trend.
Did she just? Did this Fox News lady just define Hamburger Helper?
What do you mean?
She said Hamburger Helper, a mixture of macaroni and cheese and hamburger. Like she defined it. Am I that out of touch that I feel like everybody knows what fucking Hamburger Helper is?
Oh yeah, I don't know. I didn't even realize that that's how she had described it. But that's it. It is funny that. I don't know. I didn't see the whole rest of that segment or broadcast, but that, I don't know, that they're like, upside to things being terrible,
Right.
Hamburger Helper's back. Remember how much you loved Hamburger Helper? They're crushing it right now. Before we can get into this, let me preface this by, you know, disclaimer for everyone. I do love Hamburger Helper, but yeah, it's just a funny way to spend, you know, economic hardship, impending hunger, famine in the fucking country. And they're like, let's talk about how good Hamburger Helper's doing.
It's like they're trying to frame like being broke as nostalgia for your childhood.
Right. Or something. Yeah.
It's very, very weird. But yeah, so basically, because let me quote here from the Washington Post. In absence of official government data, social media users are casting about for hints, even music festival related ones, about the true state of the American economy. And one of them is, yes, Hamburger Helper sales are up 15% this year. So rather, Gen Z loves the Hamburger Helper spokesman hand because they're so into gooning or they're fucking broke, right? So let's talk about this for a second, because like here's some other fun economic indicators that aren't from the government. Cardboard boxes are another economic indicator, because cardboard box sales and manufacture go down when the economy tanks because people are buying less shit.
People aren't buying houses.
Yeah. Cardboard box sales are down 5% this year. So the cardboard boxes go down, we stop buying stuff, and back up, and we go move into them to live, I guess. Thrift shopping is up and job hopping is down. So yeah, the plan to cook the labor and economics stats is definitely working, and everyone is totally fooled. They're not noticing that they're having to buy Hamburger Helper at a time when beef prices are through the roof. It's like,
why do I not? Is it just because I'm not plugged in? I mean, I get everything from you pretty much, and also when I actually look on the internet and everything. But like you just said, people definitely aren't. You know, they're not noticing. You're fooling them for sure. They're not going to notice what's going on in their own house. But like all I ever heard during the Biden administration, you know, was about how furious everybody was about all of this type of thing, and inflation was bad, but the other economic indicators were good. Right. Mm-hmm. But it's like that and, you know, he's papaw brained is the only two things you ever heard every fucking day. Mm-hmm. But now it's like it seems to be the opposite, where it's like they're not even releasing stats or numbers because they know that it's actually bad, but everybody's pretending it's good. But we're saying, oh, but they really do. How could you not know? It's your own refrigerator that's, you know, emptying out. But like, I just feel like I'm not generally hearing the same outrage or whatever yet, manufactured or otherwise. Do you know what I'm saying? Is it because there's so many other things that you know, you can point to be mad about or bitch about or whatever, or we're just not quite there yet, or are people just going to play along?
Yeah, I mean, like, what percentage of the news would you spend talking about inflation if you ran CNN right now, Trey?
You're right, yeah. Yeah, no, that's fair enough.
So it was kind of funny where, one of the cable news, I think it might have been CNN, saw a funny clip where they were talking about how, like, the economy doesn't pull at the top of anyone's list of big problems right now, like with some victory for the Trump administration. It's like, you might want to consider thinking about that a different way.
Right, yeah. What's that about the other problems?
Yeah, there's like 10 wars going on. We're about to invade Venezuela and people are being kidnapped off the street. It might affect how people rank the problems going on in the United States, right? The basic theory of how to distribute data is that people don't notice if they're hungry if the line is green. And hunger will also be harder to measure now that the USDA has canceled an annual food insecurity survey, calling it redundant and politicized. This is on the cusp of about 42 million people losing their SNAP benefits. SNAP benefits, a bunch of people, we're about to go through Thanksgiving and the holidays with one in eight of Americans not being food increasing their food insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
And their plans to have state media announce to people that actually you're full.
Right.
And for non-American listeners, to frame things, we're talking about here a few different things as we talk about food stamps and SNAP, EBT. Food stamps are a figurative expression, because back in the day when you had welfare, you had a book of stamps. Right. And that the program that funds it is called SNAP. It's Supplemental Nutrition something program, whatever.
And EBT is the card. Right.
Yeah, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, and EBT is like the debit card they put the money on so you can buy food. Right, okay. So yeah.
I'm old enough to remember the literal stamps, and my mama, you know, using those as currency for her pill trade and stuff. We ain't got to get into all that. She also paid my babysitter in food stamps. So, you know, it wasn't all bad. But anyway, Old school with this food stamp lore, baby. But yeah, in my home, I looked it up because I talked about this last week. Brief, this got like announced last week that this might happen, and I put it in the video I did, and that made me look up my hometown or my home county. Clay County went like almost 85% for Trump, and a quarter of the people there, 25% of the people in Clay County are on food stamps, you know, which honestly I thought might even be higher, but still, I mean, a quarter's quite a bit.
Yeah. So so when this stuff comes up, like I've seen a bunch of right wing influencers be like, I can't believe 42 million people are relying on the government for food. Like basically we should like, they should all get jobs. And like for the record, 55% of people on food stamps have jobs.
Right.
Like
most Walmart employees are like on food stamps and shit, which is just corporate welfare, which everybody's fine with. Not everybody's fine with, but everybody on the right is fine with. But yeah.
Right.
All kinds of shit like that.
Like I have a relative, I'm not going to be specific to try to preserve some anonymity, who used to work at Walmart, was a single mom, was on food stamps. And she would have gladly worked more, but Walmart kept her hours low.
Right.
In order to make sure she did not qualify for health insurance.
Benefits and insurance and stuff, yeah. It's all rigged and fucked.
Uh-huh. And the right-wing response to that is like, well, nobody makes you work at Walmart. That is true. But Walmart would like people to work there, I bet.
Also, I bet you would like people to work. Well, maybe not like senators. They probably don't go to fuck. But either way, it's like, that's what always kills me about this shit. Is it's like, you use these services and shit. The world and society and ever needs, you know, cashiers and fucking janitors and service people and waiters and all these jobs that, you know, you look down on and talk shit about all the time. So I don't know if they just think teenagers are supposed to do all of those jobs part time, you know, while they're in high school, like, and that's the only people that should ever work a job like that, or how the fuck they think it's supposed to work. But it's so stupid.
So either like the kids go to school in shifts, so some of them are free during the day and go to class at night, or we just don't have Walmart open between the hours of 8 and 4 or something.
Right.
I'm not sure what their plan for how to run society is. But like, yeah, like you said, it's like, it's basically a subsidy for Walmart. That's another way to think of food stamps. Also a subsidy for the people who shop at Walmart, because your goods are cheaper because the government is feeding the people who work there instead of Walmart. Right.
Yep.
But reactionaries are so good. This sort of connects to the China thing. Like reactionaries are so easy to fucking anger that the most guaranteed way to make money or go viral or get clout on the internet is by making them mad, because they will scream about stuff to no end. And which is why if you open up TikTok or basically any internet platform, you'll see a mix of AI-generated videos of black women, it's always black women, screaming to the camera about losing their EBT, right? Or another fun thing is people, actual human beings, lying about being on welfare and gloating to people who will gladly share the videos who think they're being honest. I saw one of a woman who's like, I'm still getting my $5,000 a month in welfare. I guess you guys don't know how to play the system. I'm like, you guys are the people getting mad at that should not have driver's licenses.
Mm-hmm.
No one's getting $5,000 a month in welfare.
Right.
There's also a new thing happening in the lunatic internet where, because the number 42 million people being on food stamps seems incomprehensible to them, that the new conspiracy theory is actually America has way more than 340 million people in it. It must be like a billion. Because there can't be that high a percentage of Americans on food stamps, because I don't know any.
Right.
Or you don't think you know any.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know who the people are that... I mean, again, I just said, like, I'm from a place that's hugely MAGA right now and also filled with people that are on these programs and stuff. So, like, to me, it's weird even hearing the idea. But I know what you mean. It's like suburban white people. It's like the people that we always talk about how, like... you know, racism is over and not real and finished and everything, because they have spent their entire lives and still live in like a 99.whatever% white fucking suburban neighborhood or something, and don't ever interact with any other race of people other than white people and shit. And it's like, you know, how would you possibly know anything about racism one way or another? It's like that too with you know, food stamps and poor people, except it's not more malicious than how they are about racism, but it's also malicious because the two overlap a lot, obviously, but they have a lot of opinions about food stamps and welfare and shit because, as you already alluded to, because they don't know any, so they don't know it, you know, but they're convinced that they're all getting $5,000 a month, that it's easy to be broke, you know, like they've just got their feet kicked up living a lavish lifestyle on the government, on the taxpayer dime, because they're lazy. That's what they're all, you know, convinced of, when generally speaking, none of those things are true. But it's just like, you know, they don't, they're terrified of trans people and Muslims and shit, and they don't know any of them either. These people just build this entire reality, this like fucking, you know, evil liberal matrix in their heads that they have to navigate as good, God-fearing Christian conservatives. And they're driven crazy by all these boogeymen that they make up that don't really exist. And it applies to basically every aspect of their fucking ethos, but especially poor people and poverty.
And you and I have been, I've never like had to miss meals or anything, but like my parents are pretty lower working class. And then I dove headfirst into poverty as an adult. And you were poor as a kid. And I can tell you, like, if there's a, if some sort of like cushy safety, safe social safety net, I've never been able to find it.
No. Right.
And so, so in this context, so because the, you know, the government mentioned the government shutdown yet, but, mayors and House Democrats this week urged Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins to fund November's benefits using a SNAP contingency fund estimated by the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities to contain about $5 billion. That amounts to 60% of the cost of one month of benefits. So they could keep people, keep SNAP going for another 3 weeks or so, but they're choosing not to, as a gun to people's heads, try to force Democrats to pass a continuing resolution that does not fix any sort of problem long term. In this environment,
right. and then people will blame the Democrats for like not doing it. Right.
That's, I think that's their hope.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure. I mean, I think there was the USDA website. If you go there right now, if you're a person who's, if you guys aren't familiar, the SNAP is funded through the Department of Agriculture, because it's basically, it's not, it feeds people, yes, but it's in the farm bill, because it also, the food that's bought from American farms, it's also like a corporate welfare subsidy. And it makes things work. I'm not complaining about that aspect of it. I'm just saying that, like, there's also fucking farmers here, which we're going to get to in a little bit. But the, so the USDA website, if you go there, it says the reason you're not getting your food stamps is because of trans people and illegal undocumented immigrants, right? So that's the game they're trying to play. And U.S. food banks are fucking bracing for like a huge a ton of turnout. They're already like begging for extra donations and stuff. Hunger in the U.S. is already on a multi-year rise after we dial back all the COVID era, social safety programs. And many food banks, quoting here from a Guardian piece, many food banks reporting higher need than they saw at the peak of the pandemic. Cynthia Kirkhart, the CEO of Facing Hunger Food Bank in Huntington, West Virginia, has already had to explain to customers this year whether the organization is rationing bags of potatoes. We are the one potato whole family nation.
Mm-hmm, yep. Yeah, Eastern blocky around here, which checks out. You know, Trump idolizes Putin and his whole thing, so sort of makes sense for being turned into that.
Yeah. And so military is also not getting paychecks right now. Let me quote a year from a piece from late last year. Food insecurity among military families, unacceptable, advocates say. Basically, 325,000 military families at that point were struggling with hunger and financial hardship. And according to a 2023 study by RAND, which is like a military think tank, nearly 26% of active duty service members are considered food insecure, and about 15% rely on food stamps or food banks to support their families. So I think they got a pay raise earlier this year from the One Big Beautiful Act or whatever, but I doubt they're getting caught up on bills and currently aren't getting paid. So basically, we're going to make them invade Venezuela on an empty stomach so oil companies can get rich.
Right. Seems like a good way to engender loyalty in the troops. You know, isn't that like literally the most important thing about like people that understand military, like logistics and tactics and that type of thing, is not about like battle strategies and shit. It's like food logistics and rationing. The most important part is keeping your soldiers fed above all else, if possible.
Yeah.
We're just casting that aside while, like you said, gearing up to start multiple unnecessary wars.
An army fights in the expression you're searching for, I think, is an army fights in the stomach. That's right. What makes Ukraine some of the most valuable real estate in the planet. The Britain called it, because it's called the breadbasket of the world. And Isn't that like one of the things that made Ulysses Grant a brilliant general? Is he figured out how to forge off the land so he could break his supply chains, and that's what like able to move around so quickly. Anyway, we're not getting into Dad History Channel stuff right now, but so as a side note, Timothy Mellon, Earl returning mega billionaire, heir to the Carnegie Mellon fortune or whatever. Somebody donated $130 million to pay troop paychecks, and turns out it was Timothy Mellon who we talked about in a recent episode because. He's the mega billionaire psycho who's obsessed with finding Amelia Earhart. Remember this story? Right.
Mm-hmm.
And Trump.
How could I forget?
Yeah. Trump released some classified files about Amelia Earhart's disappearance, and everybody wondered why. And it was like, oh, it turns out Mellon's obsessed with it. That's probably why. So
what the fuck are they going to do with $130 million? Like
nothing.
I'm about to say, like, I'm no math doctor or whatever. And I haven't literally run the numbers, but I know for a fact that $130 million is not enough to keep paying America's troops for any a day. Like it, you know,
I thought someone did the math and said it comes to about $100 per service member, but I thought it'd be less than that. I thought we had $4 million. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But like, it's like basically the federal government's like turned to the troops and was like, here's a week's worth of hamburger helper on us. Go crazy. Right,
exactly. Yeah. Enroll them in the jelly of the month club, like in fucking Christmas vacation.
You know, and right? Get ready to charge a machine gun nest in the Amazon. I don't really understand anything more, but if you got this, news story, Matt, cue it up.
And I'm told that she's leaving tomorrow. Now, Tacos El Fluffy has become increasingly popular over the last couple of years, even serving free meals to military service members during the shutdown. But now they are closing their doors as the mother of the business has learned that she has an unexpected deadline to leave the country.
All right. So this lady has been here forever. She has a work visa that is decided to take away when she reapplied for it. Her son owns a taco restaurant, uses her recipes, and she's been feeding the troops. And now she can't even feed the troops. Like, if you were trying to design a system to make everything fail at once, what the fuck would you be doing differently?
Right, but theoretically, them, like, pissing off the troops like this, and the military establishment, and the leadership, too, like, through Hegseth and everything... Mm-hmm. From our perspective, that obviously on an individual at level for those guys that aren't getting paid, like that sucks. But like that should be good, right? Like meaning for those of us who hope not to end up in a full blown, you know, authoritarian dictatorship.
You say it,
they're not going to be loyal to him, is what I'm saying. Which he'll need that to make something like that actually happen. Right,
you would think, like, so, but they think they're so gassed up on their own supply, they really do think that everyone worships Trump as a god emperor. That's what he experienced all day. So even like a troop who's hungry, who doesn't understand why he just deported the lady who gives him tacos, is going to obey his orders to fire on American citizens who are protesting his Trump trying to occupy that White House for a third term.
Right.
But anyway, I guess this lady was taking a job from an American. So if anyone wants to apply to be that guy's mom, what the fuck, man? It's all so stupid. And it, like, this is all like the food banks are also fucked, preemptively fucked by Trump, because the federal government also supplies food to food banks to backstop the people who don't get enough food stamps. So the food banks have already cut way back on distributing meat, because that's the first thing to cut back on. They're rationing potatoes, because in the spring, the Trump administration abruptly cut $500 million in deliveries from a program that sends U.S.-produced meat, dairy, eggs, and produce to food banks and other organizations across the country, which is about a quarter of the funding the program received last year. Basically, milk, eggs, and turkey are the first to go because healthy stuff is more expensive, right? And the red states are the most fucked, not just because they get the most food stamps, but also because the food banks in red states tend to get less state support because they elect Republican governors who don't fund shit like food banks. And like I said, the farmers are also fucked because the Emergency Food Assistance Program was created in 1983 under Ronald Reagan to purchase farmers' surplus food and distribute it to low-income people.
Right. Yeah, but I just remembered some arguments I used to have with people back in Tennessee about this type of stuff. People that like... live in these places and are affected by these types of things, but don't think these programs should exist. You know, hardcore small government conservatives, like you're talking about earlier, the thing, taxpayer dollars shouldn't go to any of this shit. If you ask them, like, well, who should we just let people starve? They say, no, of course not. And you're like, well, who should do it? And they'll be like, you know, well, you know, the churches should do that. Right. And it's like, it's funny because it's like, And where does the church's money come from? It's like, well, all the people in the church give the church a certain percentage of the money they have. And then the church dishes that out to take care, you know, appropriately to people who need the support of that fund or whatever else. It's like, okay, so just putting God into it makes it okay. But also, they very won't. I mean, some churches fucking walk the walk, but like, they're not going to like in places like my hometown, they're not going to step up and fill this void if it gets real bad, even if they want to. I don't know that they'd be able to, you know.
It's so too big of a void.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I don't think they could do it even if they wanted to, which a lot of them don't. So it's just people are going to be fucked.
What kills me about that is like, okay, let's follow this to its logical conclusion, right? That like the market should answer all problems or a charity. The road that goes by my mom's house, 2-lane highway, is not a profit center.
It's always roads, yeah.
If you turn that into a toll road, the tolls would not fund the construction of it. That the existence of rural communities is itself a government-funded program.
Right.
Unless you want to be able to get around the food you buy at the grocery store, the money you earned was transported on roads that were built by other people's tax dollars so food could get to your grocery stores.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
You are on welfare, whether or not you get it directly or not. Right. Because we live in a fucking society.
Right.
Goddamn, all this shit makes me want to lose my mind. So, hanging over all this is Trump's construction of his stupid fucking ballroom.
Yeah, right.
The
optics of just like not giving less of a fuck and fucking what I said in my video was our own, you know, fat, dumb Emperor Nero fiddle farting around or whatever. But it's like that type of thing. While Rome, Georgia burns, I said, it's a pretty good line, Mark. But anyway,
he's dumber Marie Antoinette with saggy your tits.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Although I guarantee you, at least some of our fans right now are going to tell you that you're being unfair about Marie Antoinette. But anyway.
we like Marie Antoinette?
We like her, but that whole apocryphal.
I know.
And apparently, again, some people say it was not fair to her and she really wasn't so bad. I only know this because I used to have a joke about Marie Antoinette and shit like that. And it come up in some of our, you know, lady fans just really let me have it over the years. Like, stop talking shit about Marie Antoinette. It's like, Jesus Christ. Okay, fine. God damn.
I didn't cut her head off. Yeah. All right. So, but the sheer optics of building a golden dance hall while starving the masses over Thanksgiving is a fucking choice, man.
Insane. I know.
And if you don't think this is not just going to impact people who get food stamps and SNAP or EBT cards or whatever, because like, sure, prices might drop in the immediate because there'll be extra food on the shelves that poor people can no longer buy. But then that justifies the grocery store is going to be less justified in purchasing more stuff to fill the shelves.
Yeah.
Right.
No, I know. I almost brought sort of that up earlier when we were talking about my hometown and food stamps, how many people there have them and everything. And I just wonder, like, what, you know, without people to spend food stamps in the what we have two not great grocery stores in my, you know, home county. Like, I don't think you could take 24% of their revenue away or whatever for any real amount of time without them being in fucking trouble. And it's like everything else is already closed in Salina. The fucking grocery stores are about to close. Like, there's not even going to be a town left before long. And it's all because of these fucking policies that Clay County has voted 85-15 for 20 years or whatever.
No. I think grocery stores have like 2-3% profit margins.
Right.
So, yeah. Yeah, so then the grocery store goes under. The people that work there unemployed. Where are they going? Not only is there no place for them to buy food, there's no place for them to work at, and there's no food benefits.
Yep.
So while we're on the subject of the ballroom, I want to look at this picture of it because this is even stupider than you could possibly imagine. Not only is it just like cruel and like getting rid of our history. And I think the East Wing was built in the 40s, so it's not like the part of the house. But like, look at this. Okay, what we're looking at right here from the model that Trump has in the Oval Office. The various plans Mr. Trump has shared have suggested a hurried process. Along with the differences in the drawings, the model he displayed on Wednesday appeared to have some mistakes, like a staircase leading up from the south lawn to no clear landing. That's what's on the left right there. There's a staircase to nowhere. And then the right, that circle you see, is two windows facing each other. So if you look out a window, you look in another window. This is clearly somebody said, make ballroom into ChatGPT.
Right. Yeah. Well, you knew anything that he did was at best going to be gaudy, tacky bullshit, you know, nouveau riche type fucking, horseshit, but it being just straight up badly, incompetently put together would also be, you know, strangely appropriate. And it ain't also, it's not going to stop at $300 million either. I feel like everybody knows that. You know what I mean? Like, it's already ballooned up. Like, it was supposed to be 200 or whatever, then 250, now it's 300. It's going to just keep, and I know it's like ostensibly not taxpayer dollars, so it's still going to like cost taxpayers money somehow, which I can't remember what's that about, but they say it's been funded by Apple and Google and Meta and all them. But it's like you said, it's just very, it's fucking the whole like Hunger Games feel of it all. Mm-hmm. It's just, they just don't care, any of them. Like, any of them involved in any one of them should have been able to go, like, and I, to say, hey, y'all not feel like this kind of maybe plays bad right now or whatever? Like, mm-hmm. But they don't give a fuck. Why would they? Yeah. They feel like they don't have to, and they might not have to.
Yeah, and on a sad note, while Trump gave Argentina $40 billion to prop up Javier Milei in his election that he just won, Snap cost the government $8 billion a month. So Ford could have ran a Snap for five more months off the $40 billion he gave to Argentina.
Right. I saw those results from that election that we've been talking about. So we had already given – so – the plan worked, basically. We gave the, or is it just our promise of giving the money was enough to calm their, you know, stormy waters down there long enough to get him through that election, and now we're going to follow through on sending it to him and continuing the bailout prop up thing? Because I know that he won, but I thought, I didn't know if
I'm not even being,
had time to send all the money down there yet. And but
I'm not being totally fair with saying we gave them money. What we did was do some currency swaps, I think,
and but a
the
loan, right? But
yeah, it won't but the pay that the back. Promise the promise of us backstopping it stopped the peso from collapsing,
right? Which allowed him to survive the election, right. At least in theory, which he did. Yeah, and yes. And also won like handily too, right?
It wasn't a majority. I think 41% of it's the equivalent of their midterm election. So he won.
I think it was 49-41 or something like that. It was like 8 or 9 points. I just read the article on CBS News right before we got on here.
Maybe the percentage changed since last night. The last I saw was 41-29. So, it was a handy victory, but it wasn't a majority. Yeah.
All right. Anyway, fuck. Where were we at? Oh, here.
Yeah.
We have another honorable mention for y'all as we get down to the finish line. Canada, for not knowing you can't lie in a commercial, even when you're not lying. Ah, yes, this.
I don't know. They cheated on a commercial. Ronald Reagan loved tariffs, and they said he didn't. And I guess it was AI or something. They cheated badly. Canada got caught cheating on a commercial. Can you believe it?
All right. So this is Trump complaining about an anti-tariff commercial that the Ontario paid for to air during the World Series. It just plays a clip of a Ronald Reagan speech. This is absolutely real, not AI, talking right. About how free trade is good.
Yeah, not out of context either, really. Right? I know they later posted like the whole unedited entire speech from which they pulled that clip, and it's like not. He meant basically what it seems like he means in the ad that they played, is what right. I'm saying.
It's not like, dude, like, I'm not a fan of Ronald Reagan. Right. But, like, if there's one thing the guy was known for, is he liked trade and didn't like mm-hmm. Russia because they didn't do trade.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's basically the core of the whole guy's fucking thing, is no one should stand in the way of anybody making a dollar. Right?
Right.
And the fucking Reagan Library, after pressure from the Trump administration, put out a statement saying that they were going to sue Canada for a speech they think they own because it's on their YouTube, even though it's in the public domain. The whole thing, everybody's such bootlicking cowards right now. And just for context, like how stupid everything is, the impetus for the North American Free Trade Zone, the NAFTA, right?
Mm-hmm.
That started with Ronald Reagan, who made the idea part of his 1980 presidential campaign. So the thing that everyone's convinced themselves they fucking hate was actually Reagan's idea that Bill Clinton takes the political rap for because he decided to do a Republican thing.
Yep.
Story as old as time. Here's the crazy part. Reagan was generally pro-immigrant. Like his idea for NAFTA included like a free movement zone, where basically you'd be able to move from Mexico to America without any paperwork, sort of like how the EU works.
Like the European Union, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So we're going to talk about trade policy. Goddamn,
imagine a politician pitching that right now, dude. The fucking... like... And their, you know, their original king, their... Who's Oh, Kronos. That's a Greek mythology reference. I think he's like the father of the original father of the gods.
Something like that.
So Trump would be Zeus or Jupiter, and Reagan's Kronos, I think. I don't know.
Yeah. Except they disavowed Reagan altogether. Like everything Reagan actually, like, I guess.
I actually think that maybe Zeus imprisons Kronos in some kind of weird cop. It doesn't, none of that matters. But anyway, I used to be really into Greek mythology shit, like a lot of bros did. I'm sure when I was like 14, and now it's all just like
I thought it was. Maybe it wasn't. Didn't Zeus kill his dad by cracking his head open? Then another god sprung out of his head or something. I don't know.
It's been
a while.
Yeah.
So the tariffs are just fucking going great, man. So for one example, Iowa, which went for Trump three times, probably no states, I'm quoting here from New York Times, yet perhaps no state has struggled more with his economic policies. During the first quarter of 2025, Iowa's GDP dropped by 6.1%, more than any other state outside from neighboring Nebraska. 6.1%, like you would get an annualized drops in GDP of about 12, I think, at the beginning of the Great Depression. So Iowa was going through half a Great Depression. We got a localized Great Depression in the Midwest. It's not just farming, soybeans and stuff. We're talking about manufacturing inputs that come in from overseas that really hurt their economy, and deporting everyone that works in their meatpacking plants. And hanging over all this, Scott Bissett, the fucking Treasury Secretary, was being questioned about all this shit because Trump, that the reason I put up that video is Trump slapped more tariffs on Canada because he's mad about the stupid fucking Ronald Reagan ad. Here's Scott Bessent being questioned about that shit over the weekend on Meet the Press.
Of course, this week, President Trump abruptly broke off trade talks with Canada and put another 10% tariff on Canada in response to an ad that the government of Ontario ran. It features former President Ronald Reagan. Why is the president setting trade policy based on a television ad he doesn't like?
Well, Kristen, let's think about this. This is a kind of propaganda against U.S. citizens. You know, it's psyops. Why would the government of Ontario, I'm told that they have spent or were planning to spend up to $75 million on these ads to come across the U.S. border. So what was the purpose of that other than to sway public opinion? And, you know, it's some kind of propaganda that the premier of Ontario unilaterally launched.
Will the 10% tariff apply to all Canadian goods, Mr. Secretary?
I mean, so it behooves them to do that, right? They it's better. They understand that tariffs are bad and they're going to fuck everybody over on both sides of the border. So, like, they're spending money to keep that from happening. Like, it's not weird, you know?
Also, why are you complaining about Canada doing psyops that are true? Well, we're protecting the right of the Israeli government to run psyops on American citizens based upon bullshit and lies. There's literally mega churches in Texas complaining because the Israeli government is sending their congregations ads based upon geo-targeting who attends their churches. And the federal government is refusing to do anything about it. And like the Trump administration's main belief is there's nothing wrong with the Russian government's running psyops on American citizens. But Canada can't buy an advertisement at the fucking World Series. And Bissett, I thought it came through in this video, so I wanted to show you guys. He goes, by the way, I'm a farmer too. I farm soybeans. I'm being impacted by this as well. Scott Bissett owns $25 million in real estate in North Dakota that he rents out to other people to farm soybeans and corn. He's a sharecropper.
Right.
And I bet you the rent's still obligated to be paid. So he's not losing a fucking dime in the short term. Right. Mm-hmm. So this is I don't understand who he thinks his base is anymore, because even pissed off the American Cattlemen's Association, they're screaming about his fucking plan to import Argentinian beef.
Right.
This is an environment where the farmers want prices high. The American Cattlemen's Association basically fuck your hamburger helper. And they're complaining about, their main complaint is that Argentina cannot guarantee the safety of their products being shipped in because they all have they tend to have a lot of foot and mouth disease in Argentinian herds. Trump administration concedes it's possible, but says, quote, the Trump administration warns Argentina beef might be diseased, but U.S. may still import. They're so focused on making sure Javier Milei establishes a like anarcho-capitalist paradise where everyone has Bitcoin and no government services. They're going to fucking import diseased cattle to kill all of our American cows.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck, man.
Yep. But now regulations, it's just, you know, big government bullshit that only stifles growth. So here we are. Okay. We'll see how it goes, I reckon. Thank you guys for watching. That's going to do it for this episode of Weekly Skews. We appreciate Jens being here. Like I said, go to TreyCrowder.com. Check out my upcoming tour dates. Next up is the Midwest, Milwaukee and Madison, specifically Wisconsin. Also check out producer Matt's audio exclusive Good Skews on the podcast feed for this show. Good people doing good things. And if you want some bonus episodes of this show, you can sign up on Patreon, weeklyskews.com/more, $5 a month, 2 full length bonus episodes per month, including Skew and A's, where we answer your burning questions. But either way, if you keep showing up on Skews Days, we will too, I reckon. We'll see you next week. Hang in there, everybody. Love you. Bye.
Skew.